Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today, the Lord's going to speak to us in a realm I believe is going to be important for us, because we're talking about spiritual hunger. And I hope that your intensity and your desire for the Lord would be intensified to really want to worship Him, to seek out His face, to hunger for Him. We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. Then we'll go over to Hebrews and pick up a few verses there. And we're going to discover some things about what real hunger really is all about. The Word of God says in verse 29, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.'
And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?'
And then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Now we're going to pick it up over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and it says this: Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." Verse 17. "To inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Let's pray. God, today you're going to show us that crocodile tears don't mean anything. The fact that we want to cry over certain things and our emotions are moved to a certain place, Lord, you are not moved by emotion, you're moved by repentance. And Lord, from this message that we'll have today, we're going to have to identify what really hunger is all about and what's the motivating factor for it, and all the things that we would even say that we're hungry for, we really don't know. And Lord, we want to know the influences that causes our hunger to go from one thing to another, and sometimes without any reasoning or rationale. And Holy Spirit, we just trust you to do some amazing things in us today, because Lord, we want to be cleansed from anything that's unrighteous. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, because Lord, we want to always worship you, as this song says. And anything that interrupts that, Lord, we want it to be removed from our life. We thank you for this. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you know what's going to happen? Look at somebody, look them in the eye, tell them this. This is a day you're going to learn about real hunger. You can go ahead and be seated. You see, that's kind of a bold statement. And actually, at this time about the day, I guess if you're taking it, you know, scientific says around 11 o'clock in the morning is when you really get your hunger thing for 12. I think I'll keep you here till 1 and see what happens. No, I'm not going to do that. Our introduction goes like this. Today we will have to confront issues that relate to spiritual and natural hunger on two fronts. The fact that believers that live in America experience the luxury of options to satisfy their spiritual and natural hunger with a great deal of freedom could very easily affect their sensitivity in genuine hunger for things that would be beneficial. Spiritual junk food would probably be best characterized as the things that would appeal to our taste and desire for nourishment that have a very short lifespan of minimal nutritional content. The blessing of hungering and thirsting for righteousness can only be fulfilled by Jesus' promise if we allow him to occupy first place in our hearts, to seek his kingdom first. That's a big statement, but I believe I can support it with the things I'm about to say. Here's our first statement or question. What have you discovered to be the hardest thing for you to resist temptation to find worldly fulfillment? Now, what does that mean? I'm simply asking you this question. Is what's your favorite show on TV? He was like, oh, you know. And he said, I can't tell you that. Why? Because you'll judge me on the basis of what my favorite show is on TV. Then I'd follow up with a question like this. What's your favorite book in the Bible? What's your favorite verse in the Bible? What's your favorite promise that you know from Jesus? And he kind of, But we can name the things of the world a lot quicker than we can name the things of God. That'll give you kind of a barometer on where you fit on the spiritual spectrum. Is that a judgment? No, it's a reality. It's a truth. And the Bible says, you know the truth will set you free. Let me move on and say, have you discovered the difference between hunger, pains, and captive cravings? We talked about this a little last week. You say, oh, I just have this thing, the sensation was, I've got to have chocolate. I got to have chocolate now. Starbucks is calling me. Really? We can identify those things, but have you ever been called to really want to pray, to intercede, to fast? And I'm saying that to me as well as I'm saying it to you, but let's consider number three. Have you developed healthy habits for eating the spiritual food necessary to become a strong believer? I know people that have dedicated their life into bodybuilding and all types of the various things that support that, healthy eating and all types of diets that they're on. But you know, it doesn't happen automatically. You can stand in a gym all day long. If you don't lift the weights, nothing will happen to you. Yeah, you know that treadmill. If I got on that treadmill, oh, it'd really make a difference in my life. And you've been on the treadmill no kind of way. But you just kind of feel like, if I just kind of walk around it. This does not happen by osmosis. You have to participate. And you know something? There's pain involved in gain. Your hunger pains aren't necessarily bad things, because sometimes a fasting thing, that sometimes you feel like the pain of fasting. I'll tell you what, if you go on a fast more than 4 or 5 days, the pain will go away. It really will. Now, there's a point of no return where all of a sudden you need to kind of be careful. But the thing of it is, for the first few days, oh my goodness, everything comes along. Every ad on TV is saying, oh God, I'm just suffering. But pretty soon, it won't matter. But I want to jump into this today. It says that we must make a decision to nurture healthy hunger for God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, For bodily exercise profits a little, doesn't say nothing, but godliness is profitable for all things, which means having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It works now and it works forever. You get the benefits today, you get the benefits forever. It's a double-sided thing. Salvation, eternity, is not just in the sweet by and by, it's the here, now, and now. And so once you give your life to Jesus, eternity, that's your destiny. So godliness is profitable for all things, but Jesus taught his disciples to pray for daily bread. Now, that doesn't mean, I think that sometimes we can misinterpret that just to mean just for, food and bread. Bread was a lot in their culture. But really, he was talking about a spiritual aspect. And as much as we want to take care of our natural bodies, the Holy Spirit wants us to be in touch with our spiritual body as well. So the bread that we seek for from the Lord daily is more than what will satisfy our flesh. And that means quickly this: our spirit must be nurtured each and every day beyond the level of basic survival. We should have some tone, some spiritual tone, to be able to endure those days when everything isn't going right, that you'll be able to stand up against the devil and say, oh no. And it's like when the devil puts some thought in your mind, you should have an answer for him from the word of God that says, oh, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. And that's how we really get the nurture that we need. But going on with that, it says, we must be on guard for the temptation to try to prove to the world that what the Lord has already done in our lives. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, this is a great place for us to learn some things. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is a very bold statement. And some of you can misinterpret that. And I don't want you to misinterpret that. It is not saying that you cannot enjoy yourself and have a good time in the world. And when I'm saying a good time in the world, that you can go to Disneyland and you'll be okay. Or you can go to some particular place and really have fun. But what is it actually saying? It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if your passion toward the things of the world overrides that of God, there's a problem. There's really a problem. Let me go on a little bit further, and it says this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. L-U-S-T, letting uncontrolled senses trip you or trap you. That's what lust is. I broke that down acrostically years ago. Letting uncontrolled. In other words, you're out of control. You can't stop yourself. You know, you eat one potato chip. Work with me, people. I can just eat one. No, you can't. The whole bag is empty. What happened to that pack of chips? We just opened it a little while ago. Now, some of you are going to Super Bowl it today, and I'll tell you, chips are going to disappear. Chicken wings are going to be flying off the table. So where did all them things go? I just put a whole bowl of them out there. And here's what's so funny. You are sitting down in front of a TV watching, ain't made a move nowhere. Oh, I'm hungry. Can you get some more than wings? What have you done? Nothing. But you told yourself you were hungry, and you, by the time you leave there, you are so sick you don't know what to do with yourself. You lied to yourself, said you need another wing. Help me, Jesus. I'm gonna preach today. I may preach right into the Super Bowl. Help me, Jesus. The enemy will challenge us to prove ourselves through the works of the flesh. The senses will be on the alert, seeking for constant gratification. I want to show you that's a clue. If you're struggling, that you're seeking for constant gratification, it's never enough. One more thing to stimulate you. One more episode, and I'll be done. I don't get the binge watching thing. I don't get it, and I will pray a prayer of deliverance over you if you want one, because I don't get it. And they always end the same way, and leave you hanging with something. Oh, I got to rest this. We got to find out whether she breaks up with him or not. Seriously, you really think that's whatever? We are constantly under attack by the enemy to prove ourselves. We must be aware and choose to cut off temptations at their source. Let me look at it this way. Cravings come from everything we see, especially on TV or social media. You were doing fine until that, commercial came on TV and created in you something that you didn't know was missing, and now you feel like, oh, there's a hole in my life. Honey, did you see that? If we buy that, it'll take care of all of our problems. Really. Cravings try to directly connect with our feelings. Feelings. Why did I ever let you go? Feelings. Oh, feelings. Come on. Feelings are one of those things that it comes with the mood that we're in. But I don't have time to park on this because we got a lot of ground to cover. But I will say that cravings can easily be activated by something we hear. And sometimes it's something you weren't supposed to hear. But you overheard this. Honey, did you hear that? Did you hear what they said? Now, it wasn't intended for you, but you overheard something, but all of a sudden you want to attach to that what you overheard, and you want to attach it to your situation. It wasn't for you in the first place. You need to stop eavesdropping on sin and get a hold of Jesus. You need to tune out somebody else's conversation. That was for them. It was not for you. But we try to modify our life to accommodate certain things that we've heard that will never, ever be for you. Oh, I know this is going to be rough today. Fasten your seatbelts or unfasten, whatever you need to do. I don't care. It's not a matter of prohibition. It's a matter of priority. I don't want to become a religious person that says you got to stop doing this and this and this and get a whole list of things to do. It's not prohibition. Thou shalt not wish you could. But it's a matter of priority. And I want to hopefully adjust some of your priorities that you've established that you can lock this. Oh, I got to do this every day. I got to do this particular thing. And we get all these regimented things into our lives that are not have no biblical foundation whatever. So let's examine some of those. The one thing that the Bible makes very, very clear, there is no question about this. And the Bible says, seek ye
first.
What?
The kingdom of God.
And what will happen after that? And all these things will be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is no confusion as to what we should be seeking first. But somehow the enemy and ourselves get distorted. Well, yeah, I'm going to get around to that. But as long as I get this established first, God really won't mind. Well, look at this. Do not let anything take the place of God in your life. And we must be willing to be like God by depending on him. When the disciples prayed, give us this day our daily bread. It was a twofold thing, and I agree with that. But you know what they were acknowledging? Is if you don't give it to us, we'll never get it. We don't presume that we can get it on our own. Because God is the one that gave you the health and strength and even the ability to even apply those things to your life. But it goes further. It says we must express our hunger for Jesus with our behavior, which means this. We must show forth the lordship of Jesus to all men. Have you ever met a secondary Christian? I'll tell you what they look like. They look different in here than they do out there. Now, I've been at various places, been in the shopping mall, down the streets, going to a game or whatever it is, and you meet someone, and all of a sudden they like panic. Oh, Pastor, how are you? How are you? You know, and they're with some of their homies, and their homies are questionable. I want you to meet my... Well, they don't really want me to meet their friend over here, but there's no, you are with them. And all of a sudden, it changes our whole perspective on things. Why is it that way? Let me give you a few clues as far as it's concerned. We must desire to be a living testimony to the world by the choices that we make. Now, I remember this one thing, and maybe this is a little thing for you, but you should not be ashamed to pray over your meal in public. But I know how some of you do. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whoever eats fastest eats the most. Oh, we look like we're sneezing. But I'll never forget that we used to call them the HLB, the Holy Lane Brothers. And I remember it was down at the Cosmo Coffee Shop. It used to be over on Grand Street. It's not there anymore. But these guys were on the other extreme. We're down there, we're having lunch, and all of a sudden they just stop. Excuse me! We're going to pray over our food. They start calling down fire from heaven. And so I was so embarrassed. I said, you can get to the other side of the street, you know. But in the name of Jesus, I pray over this hamburger that there'll be no... I said, what? And I mean, they're shaking up the whole place. Come on, don't be crazy. But you know, people... are not embarrassed to drop the F-bomb in front of you, any place they happen to be. So why can't I drop the Jesus bomb in Jesus' name? And thank you, Jesus, for all that you do in my life. The Bible says this, if you're ashamed before me, before men, what about you and the Father, him saying something about you? That's the word of God. Shame is something that we have to get over. If you're a Christian, you say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Really? Or are you ashamed of who you believe in? The Bible says this, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day. You know what that day is? A day that I feel like I need to be ashamed. I don't need to be ashamed. I'm going to proclaim Jesus. I'm loving you. God bless you. We must allow ourselves to model the goodness of the Lord and cause people to desire a relationship with him. That's for the other extreme of folks, that we just talk about God's goodness. We don't brag, but we just talk about God's goodness. You say, I'm just so grateful how the Lord has blessed my life, blessed my family, gave me a great wife, great kids, and this other type of thing. It's all because of his goodness. And you say it just very calm, nonchalant. And they're looking like, what? God? Family? Let me help you with this a little further. The enemy will constantly tempt us with things to prove our ability to stand firm as believers. My very most favorite scripture in the New Testament, Old Testament, all put together is 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you haven't memorized a verse, this is the verse that will save your life. Because all of us are confronted with temptation. Can I get an amen? Amen. And temptation doesn't say, oh, by the way, I'm going to tempt you in the next few minutes. Are you okay with that? But the Bible says there is no temptation taking you that such is common to man. But God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. In other words, anytime you're tempted, there's a way out. Amen. I couldn't help myself. They put it in front of me, and what was I going to do? I just smoked it. But I didn't take a heavy drag. I just took enough so they wouldn't be offended. Are you, how crazy are you? It's like a person on a diet had a half a donut. Eat the other half. It's over, okay? Some of you laugh because I know what he's talking about. Because I might as well finish it. I started it. Don't waste, not want, not, you know, whatever. We are often victimized by temptation when we deceive ourselves into thinking that we are stronger than we really are. If you have a if you have a problem getting by heavenly donuts, change your route. Because when you see heaven. Jesus. Finding the way of escape from temptation can only be discovered by those humble enough to ask direction from the Spirit. I won't ask you to lift your hands on this one, but I'll ask the question, and you lift your hands in your mind, and I'll see you, okay? How many of you are tired of messing up and falling prey to temptation? Don't raise your hands. I see that hand. I see that one over there. Because you're tired of failure. Well, let me get into the crux of the story today. I need to talk about our emotions. Left unchecked will reinforce temporary hunger that leads to permanent regret. I want to go to the Hebrews account, and then we'll talk a little bit about the one over in Genesis. Hebrews 12:17. This is a part that really nails it down. For you know that afterward, when he, we're talking about Esau, wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. My mama taught me when I was a kid about crocodile tears. What's a crocodile tear? It's a tear that drips down your face that has no repentance behind it. It's a tear that you can manifest that'll make your mama stop spanking you or make you stop punishing you. Sorry, Mom. I'll tell you how to tell the difference between the two. The real ones come out of here. The false ones come out of here. The ones out of the side, they ain't real. They ain't real. The ones over here, oh, Jesus. You're getting close. But let's look at this. Hunger can only be suppressed so long without becoming an issue that must be addressed. Hunger is the natural response to a physical need. And hunger can be ignored for a limited amount of time, but the urgency of fulfillment of hunger can be fraught with poor decisions that bring about regret. I got a practical story for you. I've been working here at church all day long. I had a little heavy workout at the club and this type of thing. And I had put off eating, which was not, I'm not supposed to do that, because you know when I fell out the other time, that was crazy. But anyway, so I'm not supposed to do that. But so I said, I got to get something to eat. So I went to this new restaurant and I ordered me whatever. I said, I don't care what it is. Let's put it, it was supposed to be some magic bowl of stuff. I said, well, put some brown rice in there, put this in there, put that in. I don't care what it is, I'm going to eat this thing. That was the worst burrito bowl I've ever had in my life. But you know I ate it? Because I was hungry. I regretted it later. Because if I'd set myself up for success, because it was my fault for not governing according to what my body needed, and I did an emergency situation, and it did not turn out well. Stop blaming God for stupid decisions. Amen. I'm just too busy to do this, and I'm too busy to do that. And I'll tell you, you get yourself in trouble. That was the nastiest thing I've ever had in a long time. And if you'd like the address, I'll tell you, just stay away, stay away, stay away. But that was my fault. It was my fault. Okay, are you willing to take ownership of some stuff that you've just kind of got out there kind of floating around? Well, you know, I just couldn't help myself. Oh, stop it. Well, urgency of fulfillment of hunger will cause you to make poor decisions. Now let's get into the actual text in Genesis. And I think it'll help you to get it. So back to Genesis 25 verses 29 and 30. When we are weary and we are vulnerable to make poor choices and bad decisions. Watch this. Now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. The word weary you can interpret as hunger because that's the story. Weariness, he's bored and he's hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Now you can interpret that several ways. That same red stew. He was familiar probably with the particular red stew he'd made before. He said, oh man, what do I say? You know, Esau can, you know, Jacob can kick it with stew. That red stew, oh, it's the bomb. So I want some of that red stew. Ever have a favorite thing that you just had to have? Quit lying, raise your hand. If I could just have some of Mama's meatloaf again, or whatever it was, you know, because there's a certain way she made it, and nobody can make it like Mama. Come on, be honest. There's a certainty, and it's left an impression in your memory that's the one that you want. So anyway, so let's paint out the story. So our preoccupation with things we can enjoy can make us vulnerable and when making choices concerning what we think are really important. He says, oh man, I've been out there hunting all day long. I'm weary, I'm hungry. Red stew. All right. So, there are many times in life when we will put our future at risk to a momentary craving for something that is before us. Ever bought a car you regret buying? Don't raise your hand. This is the perfect one. You know, all the different things, all the bells and whistles, this type of thing. Worst purchase you ever made. Ever bought a vacuum cleaner? Did everything, but, you know, did this, did that, mop the floors, whatever type of thing. It's only, you know, how many payments for the rest of your life do you pay for it? But it's the one you want. I remember when my daughter was in college, she was one of those victims of Cutco. And she sold me some knives. I bought the smaller package. But when I penciled it out, I said, I'm paying how much for a knife? For a paring knife cost me how much? How many dollars for a knife? Of course, you know, I got through that particular thing. I only bought a few of those. But then came the Ginsu knife.
Now, remember, I had Cutco in the drawer, but all of a sudden, Ginsu cuts through bricks. When am I going to cut a brick with a knife? But somehow I had to have Ginsu. I'm going to go out and cut a fence post down and cut some bricks. Cutco wasn't enough. I had to get Ginsu. Do you get where I'm coming from? We can talk ourselves into anything. Are you getting the picture? Well, watch this. Our emotions can affect our judgment by convincing us that our hunger must be fulfilled immediately, regardless of the cost. This is not to bring condemnation on anyone, but I believe there are people that are still sitting in this auditorium that have regrets over decisions that you made 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. If I'd only listened, if I should have, and that type of thing. And the Bible says some pretty tough things about Esau. He says some pretty unflattering words about his decision-making process. Well, let me get to the last little part of this, and I'll continue the story next week. But Esau set himself up for failure by yielding to hunger of the flesh. Decisions that we make for short-term fulfillment will always come back to haunt us once we have taken the time to truly analyze what was really at stake. Ever made a decision and later thought about it and said, oh, that was ridiculous? Two words you don't want to hear. Too late. Because the way that this unfolds is, wow, it just impacts my mind. Esau saw his brother. He asked his brother for the stew first. I know Jacob was a supplanter. I know Jacob was a con artist. He did a lot of crazy things. But Esau made the first move. Jacob did not come up and say, hey, man, I know you're hungry. I know you've been out there in the field. And you know what? If you, you hand me over that birthright, you can have some soup. That is not how it went down. There are some things you are blaming people for that are your own fault. And you need to stop blaming other folks. You need to own the fact that you are the one that made the first move. You're the one that asked them for this particular thing. It's not their fault. It is yours. Oh, my goodness. That's kind of hard. But it's the truth. You were hungry, and you make a decision that is just pretty, pretty weird. And so that being the case, you know, he comes in from the situation. He's feeling kind of worked over. And he says, give me some of that stew. And so he asked him to do it. And so at that particular point, but he says, Jacob sees an opportunity to benefit from his brother's vulnerability by him discounting his birthright. And the Bible says some things about him that are pretty piercing. And I'll go into the Hebrews account because I'm just about done for today. He says, and lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Do you ever wonder why he put fornicator or a profane person in the same sentence? So you say, well, I know what a fornicator, a person is, you know, has sex outside of marriage and this other type of thing. And he attaches that to Esau or some fornicator. This is going to be sensitive, but I think it's righteous. Some of you are still living regretful relationships. You know, you're happily married now and have a good relationship with someone or in a healthy relationship, but you haven't let go of that fornicating relationship you had a long time ago. Oh, you say, that's kind of mean. No, it's not. It's real. And you're comparing that relationship with what you have now. Well, it's not quite as good, but you know, I remember, you know, the way we were, memory. in the corners of my mind. Oh, stop this nonsense. Well, I used to call them plastic, Teflon-coated memories. Yep. Well, anyway, here's the deal. So he asks his brother for this stew, and Jacob sees the opportunity for the birthright. Our hunger for things can lie to us and make us believe that what we're about to do is worth it. I probably should stop there today because the next few for supporting things that I'll say to you will be enough. But hold on before I bring the folks up here. Hunger looks for fulfillment and often does not take into account the cost. Now, I know y'all been to a movie before. When you go to the movie, you have no problem paying $5 for a bucket of popcorn. And you know as well as you know your name, it is not worth $5. Can I get a witness? But you're going to pay $5. You're going to pay $4.50 for a Coke, you know, that high. Because, you know why? Because you tell yourself, but it's worth it. And I can't argue with you. At the moment, it is. But you'll get your mind back once you get to your car. But while you're in there, whoo, $5, that's a deal. Oh, they got the 2-for-1 type thing. You can get two hot dogs for $7.50. Come on, you don't look at me like I'm crazy. You gotta do this. Oh, do the math. Oh, yeah, they discounted $1.50. They ain't worth a dollar. Go to Costco, baby. Yeah. Figure it out. Help me, Jesus. Lord, I'm trying to save them. I'm trying to save them, Jesus. Whatever. We're sinking in on this. Things that we have established a value to may become a disappointment once we clear out our thinking. Things that we thought that we could not live without can turn out to be the very thing that destroys our future. Our emotions can come into alignment with our hunger and give us a false readout of a situation that will lead to irreversible consequences. That's the place where I'm going to stop today as the team comes up here. I'm going to give these last points and then put a comma in this. We're going to finish this out next week. Now, here's a part that I want to tell you folks about. Esau convinced himself that he was about to die without eating the food that was in front of him. Remember, I'm talking about regret. And I want to talk very face-to-face with some of you here that convinced yourself that it was worth it cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, cheating on your income tax, cheating on whatever it happened to be. It was worth it at the moment because of what you really wanted to do that made you feel better, you thought. Let me break it down for you. Esau discounted his future for fulfillment of his fleshly craving in the moment. Because when we really get into sin, we're not thinking about tomorrow, we're thinking about right now. But you know, right now will not always be right now. There'll be a tomorrow after right now that you're experiencing that says, I wish I'd never done the right now I did yesterday, a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. And I want to deal with that part of you today. So what does that mean? His decision to forfeit his birthright was not his brother's fault. I want to talk and finalize this message today and get you rid of the blame game. Whoever you've blamed, whatever situation you blame, whether it's your parents, your former wife, your present wife, former husband, present husband, stop it. Because that's not the real reason. There's something within you that's broken. And God wants to fix it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's only one word I want to deal with today. And it's a tough word. But it's a word that the devil will whip you on. And some of you came through this door today, didn't realize, you kind of calmed it down, but
as you leave here or sometime during the day, tomorrow, whenever, it's a word called regret. If I'd only done this, I wouldn't be suffering with that. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would take over today, and a couple things need to happen. People that are stuck in that place need to come to a place of repentance. And it won't happen by you trying to flood this place with tears. It'll happen with you making a decision saying, you know what? I take ownership for what happened. And I ask Jesus, by his grace, to forgive me. Let me pray first. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, there's something I'm sensing right now. For people that are in this room that need to say yes to you. And the only way they can do it is if they trust you. And Lord, the reason why we got ourselves in the situation that we regret is we didn't trust you. We trusted our feelings, we trusted our emotions, we trusted our situation. We trusted today that we'd never feel this way that we felt about this person, this situation. And so we seized an opportunity. We trusted the hunger that was in us that would be a passing thing, that if we just waited, that we're willing to forfeit our future for something we could see in front of us. God will be the first person to admit that we're broken. But today we ask you to fix us. Not only to fix us, Lord, to cleanse us and to renew a right spirit in us. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, this is a moment for people to get their lives together with Jesus. I'm not only talking to people who are not believers yet, I'm talking to believers that are sitting in here that says, you know, Pastor, I got to be honest. I've been living with regret for a long period of time of things I just kind of brushed over and thought they just fixed themselves, but Lord, they're not fixed. And the Holy Spirit is telling me today, it's time for me to deal with it and to get it taken care of. If that's you, it's going to take a bold step of faith. But I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Stand up and face the issue. Stand up. You say, well, I don't know. Stand up. That's right. Stand up. Don't wait for somebody else. You stand up. You do it. Because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. There's at least 10 more people need to be standing. I'm going to wait just a moment. And if you don't, you don't. But you're saying, I got it. This has got to go today. I'm not going to live with this another day. I will not be beat up any longer. I'm not going to let the devil lie to me anymore. There's several more people. I'm just going to wait just about maybe 30 seconds more because I want to say some things to you right now that you may never, ever feel conviction like you feel it right now. You may never. And if you need to take care of it, take care of it today. About 15 more seconds, and I'm going to invite these folks to come down and join me here for prayer. But if you need to do that, I want you to stand now and let Jesus do it.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.